Blog Talk Radio.
And I know you've been waiting on us, and we have been waiting on you too. We are going to have such a great night tonight. I want to just say hi to Pastor Tasila. Hello, Sister Tasila. How are you
today? Hello, hello. And I want to tell everybody welcome. I'm sorry about there was some technical difficulties last week, and but we're back here together now, so that's all that matters. If you dialed in and you couldn't get in, just, you know, sorry about that. It was beyond our control with the radio station, but we're all here now. And if you want to say hi to all our friends and family, it's all over the world. And if you are on and you want to send us an email, go to christiantalkr.com. Amen.
And yes, and gmail.com. That's right. Hey, now. And also, while you're doing that, or if you want to do that, that's fine, but call some of your friends and family members and have them to tune in. You know, they can dial in the same number, 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. You know the number for those of you who have dialed in. So just go ahead and call some of your friends and family members and tell them to dial in. Or if they're on Facebook, they can see the post for this program. Just click on the picture of Tasila and myself. If you're on Tumblr or Twitter, you can do the same. Just click on the picture of Tasila and myself, and you can hear the whole program from your computer. You can hear it tonight or any time, any day after the program. If you want to go back and revisit or if you missed it, you can still go on your Facebook, on Tumblr, on Twitter, wherever you see the post, and click on the picture of Kemar and Tasila, TNT, and you can still hear the program, okay? All right. We're going to have a good time tonight. I know you guys are ready for it, but you know what we have to do. That's right. It's that time, everybody. It's time for a TNT moment. A TNT moment. That's a T-Meyer and Tasila moment. And we're just going to have to see what's going on today. Sister Tasila, what do we have for today?
Well, one of the questions on the docket today is, what do you do with betrayal? Oh, that's a very loaded question with much needed answer for today. So I know, and everybody knows from reading, the first betrayal that we saw was in the Bible was between two brothers, Cain and Abel. And the, I bet Abel was just shocked that it got to that degree. But the word says, with envy and jealousy is every evil work, including death.
Yes.
Isn't that something? And the Lord said in Matthew 24:10, at that time, many will fall away and will betray and hate one another. The time is now. And because we are at the end of the age, and a lot of people don't realize that, but we are, we're entering into a new season and age and time. And the hate, you got to admit, it's real. You hear it, you see it in songs, in quotes, in families, and relationships. And the Lord said at the end times that the love of many will wax cold. And you wonder sometimes, what is the purpose of all of this hate and betrayal? Well, it's to divide and conquer. And if the enemy can divide the people, then he can conquer. And in our society today, we see so much betrayal in trusted relationships, like unauthorized use of another's card, or what we call identity theft, the juniors using the seniors' cards, the credit, and the seniors using juniors' credit, and they're only 13 years old. And but look, I've seen a lot of kids become 21, 22, and go out to start their credit, and their mom and dad, their moms and dads have been using their credit since they were 12. And they're, you know, and sunken in a, you know, in a bad place. But another high-level point of betrayal is when you're speaking your most sacred secrets to a friend, and then they blast it to someone else or on social media.
Yeah.
It's all types of betrayal.
That's awful.
I mean, like, that is. And we see it with countries against countries, whistleblowers, finger pointers, traitors. And Jesus talked about that too. He said at the end times what how that will look. And well, let's just be real clear about it. In Luke 21:16, he said, you will be betrayed, not if.
Whoa.
He said, you will be, even by parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and some of you will be put to death for my name's sake. Not everyone, and, you, and people have to examine their own selves, but a lot of people are not willing to stand for Jesus right now. You know,
right
now we see in the earth, we see a lot of self-centeredness. And actually, the devil has set the stage for the end time performance by having people so into themselves. And Luke 12:52, the Lord says, from now on, even family members will be divided over me and will choose sides against one another. Fathers will be split off against sons, sons against fathers, mothers will be against daughters, and daughters against mothers, mother-in-laws and brides against mothers-in-laws, all because of me. Christians, this is what you are witnessing in the earth right now. Those that love the Lord are being betrayed by those that say, Lord, Lord. We see it. And once you see some of the, we used to see where hearts were knitted together, like even in the Bible where it talked about how Jonathan and David, how their hearts were knitted together and they had a lot of love for each other. And like now we are seeing the separation, you know. And the question is do you trust the Lord to the death of yourself? And that is a loaded question also. A lot of people, they say they love the Lord, but the Lord said love him first with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then love your neighbor as yourself. Well, are we doing that? Do you love him so much that you love another human's life like your own? Just think about that. Because these are the commandments now. That's the commandment.
Yeah.
Even before Jesus arrived on the earth, he spoke about his betrayal in Zechariah 13:6. Before he even got here, he was talking about it, because Zechariah is before all, is in the Old Testament. And he said, one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. You know, that was deep.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all know that a lot of churches come together and clap all Sunday, you know, together.
Yeah,
and some
yeah.
of them really should be ashamed, because they are not walking in love. And,
oh,
and
yeah.
they just got to admit that,
yeah.
you know. And sometimes when
yeah.
people are being mean, and I say, Lord, why are they being so mean and acting like that's just their personality and the way that they are? And the Lord said, if somebody came in here with that was highly influential and had a chance for them to make millions, they would change their attitude and their ways, you know, because people do
for
know
real.
How to act. Like they said,
yeah,
crazy
absolutely.
Is crazy all the time, you know,
yes.
not selectively.
And also, love is a choice. So you can choose
right.
to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and choose to love your neighbor as yourself. Love
that
is a choice.
True. But that is, it's a choice, and a lot of people don't like that choice. But
yes.
being betrayed is like wearing a vest. Or it can cause you from a tormenting spirit to be a victim, you know.
Yeah.
But you can break the
yeah.
spirit of betrayal. You thank the Lord
mm-hmm.
for delivering you from the enemies in your midst. And the spirit of Judas, you say, you spirit, you're still hung on the tree, Judas, in the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
And in the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you can bind that thieving Judas bag that he carried, which caused death to relationships and betrayal and
mm-hmm.
envy and jealousy and strife and greed. And you can bind the demons that released and release them from your life, because that came to stab God's anointed in the back. And you can say, this
mm-hmm.
thing is broken off of me. You don't allow it. You know what I'm saying? Because I find that the person that's being betrayed is the one that's tormented. The one who did the betraying, he's just Humphrey Dory running around. But the person that is being betrayed is the one that's being tormented. But you can come against it. You can plead the blood of Jesus over every treasonous relationship that you might be in, and a violation of trust and false allegations. You know, we see a lot of that right now. And the breach in covenant that's set against you, you can say, I break that, you know, in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you break and bind all of that stuff up, you say, and I release the spirit of love, peace, joy, brotherly kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law or power. And I just want to thank
That's
the
right.
Father for the strength, you know, of his presence against the spirit of betrayal, because God has a presence and a strength that stands up against that. That I think that Christians, if you're listening, you pull on that and not on being a victim to what has happened to you. And if you could do anything and pray for that person. Right, Brother T?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sister Tasila, you've covered so much, and you're
mm-hmm.
absolutely right. Betrayal always comes from someone closest to you, like a family member and a very close friend. Even Scripture speaks
mm-hmm.
on this in Job 19, verses 13 and 14. He says, my relatives stay far away, and my friends have turned against me. My family is gone, and my close friends have forgotten me. Yes, even a very, very close friend can betray you. Psalm 41,
mm-hmm.
verse 9. Even my closest friend whom I trusted, the one who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Even members of your church can betray you. Yeah, that's right.
That's
Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14. For it is not an enemy who insults me. I could have handled that. Nor is it someone who hates me and who now arises against me. I could have hidden myself from him. But it was you, a man whom I treated as my equal, my personal confidant, my close friend. We had good fellowship mm-hmm. together, and we wow. even walked together. We even walked together in the house of God. People mm-hmm. on the job can betray you. You know that, right? Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that happens quite often. Mm-hmm. Yes, but there is, and everybody, listen. There is a betrayal that seems to last the longest and truly, truly hurt the deepest in the heart of a person. And that is the betrayal between a husband and a wife. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. He's going to judge them. When a couple is married, it is a covenant between the two, a promise. It's a promise, an agreement between the two of them and them alone. Well,
we call it a triangle. You are,
to Cecilia and I, we call it a triangle. It's the Lord and it's the two of us, the Lord, Cecilia, and T. Meyer. It's the triangle, and that shouldn't be broken because Jesus is the foundation of your marriage. He's the glue that keep it together, and he's the covering. But it's an agreement between us and us alone. You are bound by your promise toward each other, and neither the man or the woman should break that covenant because it constitutes betrayal, which then makes you an adulterer. Romans 7, chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. For example, this is Paul speaking. He said, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he's alive. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law that binds her to him. It's the same with a man. A man is bound to his wife as long as she's alive. If she dies, then he's released. So then if she or he, the wife, or the husband, has sexual relations with another person, another man, while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. And the same with the man. He's called an adulterer. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law. She is not considered an adulteress if she marries another man. Neither would the man if he married another woman if his wife has passed. Betraying someone means that you don't truly love them. Keep that in mind. You don't have any regards for the Word of God. I'm talking to Christians right now. You don't have any. We know the people in the world don't have regards for the Word of God, but I'm talking to Christians. If you can really betray someone, that means that you don't love them. You don't have any regards for the Word of God. It's written to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just like you said, Sister Cecilia, with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you are a betrayer, then you are disobeying God's commandment because you can't possibly love someone if you consistently and constantly betray them. Your enemy will not betray you. You don't have to worry about that because you know where they stand. They are your enemies. What they are is who they are. They will do every evil work against you that they can possibly do. But loved ones can betray you because they are the closest to you. They are the ones you would have never thought would betray you. They are the ones you trusted. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think that every one of your loved ones is going to betray you or your closest friend is going to betray you. That may not happen, and hopefully, praise the Lord, it won't happen. But it can. If anybody can really betray you, it's those that are closest to you. The most powerful betrayal of all times is the betrayal of Judas when he betrayed the Lord. Matthew 26, verses 48 through 50. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. He gave the Romans a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. So Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keep in mind that Peter also betrayed the Lord. Luke 22, verse 56 through 61. A servant girl saw him, talking about Peter, sitting by the fire, stared at him, and said, this man was with him too. But he denied it. I don't know him, woman. He responded. A little later, a man looked at him and said, you are one of them too. But Peter said, mister, I am not. About an hour later, another man emphatically asserted, this man was certainly with him because he is a Galilean. But Peter said, mister, I don't know what you're talking about. Just then, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the word from the Lord and how he had told him, before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. Now, I don't know where Peter was or where the Lord was, but somehow wherever the Lord was, he looked right at Peter and Peter saw him.
Yeah.
Now, see, although the Lord, here's the thing, although the Lord knew Peter and Judas would betray him, and he even knew that all of his disciples would run and desert him. Matthew 26, 31, he even told them. This is what he said. Jesus said unto them, all ye or all of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And that's exactly what they did. They scattered. As soon as the Romans came for Jesus, and it was, you know, they ran. But all of that was still painful for the Lord. You know, sometimes, and when you think about it, sometimes we know how certain people are. We know that there are some people who are close to us in our lives, people that we know who will do evil against you once they get a chance. They will betray you. They will hurt you. But when it actually happens, it's still painful, though you knew it would happen. You knew it.
Yeah.
You knew they were capable of that. Well, my advice to people who have betrayed someone or who is betraying someone right now is to repent and turn from your betraying ways, or you will lose the trust of those around you, those who you know respect you and look up to. Mm-hmm. They look up to you. You'll lose their respect. Proverbs 25 confirms this, verses 9 and 10. Instead, take up the matter with your neighbor and don't betray another person's confidence. Otherwise, anyone who hears will make you ashamed and your bad reputation will never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
Repent and confess your sin before the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So the question is, what do we do about betrayal? Here's what we do. And you named a lot of it already, Sister Tasila. We call on the name of the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 10. Even if my father and my mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. He is our great comforter. So call upon the name of the Lord. and know that he will heal your heart and mend, and he will heal your heart and your mind. Psalm 55, verse 16 and 17. I call upon God, and the Lord will deliver me. Morning, noon, and night, I mull over these things and cried out in my distress, and he heard my voice. He knows what's going on the inside of you. Know that the Lord is your champion, and he is always looking out for you. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord fights for us mentally, physically, and spiritually. He fights all of our battles. So if you have ever been betrayed and it left you with a broken heart, just remember and just know the Lord is the mender of broken hearts. He is your strength, your ever-present help. He is the Prince of Peace. He will give you his joy and plant it deep within you. And then you will know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is truly your strength. I know it is very painful to be betrayed, but trust in the Lord, and he will bring you through the hurt, the pain, and the sorrow. He is your peace. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, there's so much more to that, but that's it for our TNT moment right now. Send your feedback, like Pastor Tosila said, to ChristianTalkR@gmail.com. That's ChristianTalkR@gmail.com. If you need prayer or whatever, you just give us a email, and we will respond. We will reply to you. Okay? Don't go away, because, as you know, we have a very special guest with us. And, I guess I can tell you who it is. It's Miss D. Bowie, Mother Beloved. We'll be right back with her, and I'm going to really tell you who she is. Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away with our special guest. You are listening to Christian Talk Radio with T. Meyer and Tasila, TNT, and our special guest is Dorothy Brandon Bowie, also known as D-Boy. You may know her as D-Boy, but she's really known to many as Mother Beloved. Hi, Mother Beloved. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, super fantastic, and getting better.
Super fantastic and getting better. Let me tell you guys
yes.
a little bit more about Dorothy Bowie. She's 84 years young, and she's living her best life, and she'll be the first to tell you that. She's living her best life and moving towards God's long life promises. God mm-hmm. strategically connected her with Pastor Stephen Mortimer, pastor of Life Eternal Ministries, located in, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Hiram, Georgia? Is that Hiram,
yes.
Georgia?
Correct.
Hiram, Georgia, and you served there for the past 4 years. Mother Beloved is using her God-given wisdom and strength to share God's intimate revelations, which is to educate God's people in the grace and mercies of Jesus Christ. Now, I know everybody's at your house, but nevertheless, let's clap our hands for the one and only Mother Beloved. Let's clap our hands. Yay!
Oh, yes.
So, so you know, now, Mother Beloved, you know that I'm going to have to ask you, how did you come across that name?
That was given to me by my spiritual son, my pastor, Stephen Mortimer. He said he was in the Bible, it says beloved of God. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the widows. And he said God put it on his heart to name me. Everybody on the prayer line was calling me Mother Bowie, Mama Bowie. But he said that God told him to call me Mother Beloved. And that he gave me that dub. Yes. And it sticks.
Amen. Amen.
I have a lot of names, but that one is the most outstanding one, beside grandmother.
Yeah, besides grandmother. Well, you know, we want you to go ahead and start from the beginning. Tell us your story.
Oh, okay. It's a story that really, when I tell it, I used to be embarrassed to tell my story, but now I see that my story gives a hint of Jesus is always there. Yeah, I was born in the South in a little town called Bastrop, Louisiana, and my mother was 14 when she got pregnant. She was 15 with me, and when she had me, and so we lived a terrific, horrible life, so to speak, because it was a baby with a baby. And
yeah.
Wow. I was blessed that I had a grandmother who was the epitome of love. And so all through all the meetings and the moving and stuff, my mother was also, I can say this now because I understand, and when you all were talking about betrayal, sometimes there's a little etching of parental betrayal. Because children look up to their parents to be the perfect one, but some of the parents have gone through such horrendous experiences in their life to they have no love. They don't know how to love themselves because they missed it. But my mom was an alcoholic as I was growing up, and just meaner than a junkyard dog. And I've learned through that because of her meanness that I don't take no stuff no more. Last whooping I got, she gave it. Nobody else is allowed. it actually made me strong in some ways, you know. And I don't play like that. But I moved to California in 1949, and you all are familiar with Los Angeles. We lived on 29th and Central Avenue, right on the stem of everything, where all the jazz clubs were and a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot growing up early. And they shipped me out of Louisiana because I wouldn't abide by the rules when I was called the N-word. I fired back even at age 10 and 11, so they didn't want to find me hung. So they brought me to Los Angeles, and I was telling my godson Stephen, I didn't know what a taco was until I got to California, because you know you don't eat things. They don't have fast foods like that in the South. But coming mm-hmm. out of the South with being mentally and physically abused was it was hard for me to get acquainted with other people because I always had a fear. But that fear turned out to be something that gave me strength that I didn't know what it was that God was doing with me, but he was strengthening me even as a little girl. And when living on Central Avenue, you saw some of everything. And I went to junior high school and went to high school, and I got pregnant at the age of 17 and got kicked out of school. And when the baby was born, I got kicked out of the house. So I've been on my own since 17 and never went back home, thank you, God, because back in the South, I learned how to pick cotton and make money. So that was good. Right. I've never been afraid of work. And getting kicked out of school was probably the worst thing that happened to me, because my dreams were to go to college, meet a tall black man, have four kids all at one time, and be a doctor. And it turned out nowhere near that. You know, I'm the mother of seven children. Yeah. I have three living, and I have my packages four with my, I have a son, 67, and I have a son, 66. My daughter is 59, and my son is 66, was diagnosed a few years ago. 4 years ago, then with Parkinson's disease. So that's been a thing that I've been able to trust God with, because he said my household would be saved. So I try not to worry about it. I get angry about some things and sometimes, but I know that God is taking care of that, you know. And at the age of 17, it was like I had to really learn how to take care of myself by any means. You know, I sold potato pies, cakes, and stuff like that. But what I realize now, that becoming a mother at 17, I'm still young with my children, so that's pretty good. They claim to be seniors. I don't. So I tried to go to church. I tell you, TNT, I was called a church hopper, but I was always looking for something, because some of the things that I was hearing, it just wasn't piercing my ears, and it wasn't settling too good into my heart, you know. I had a little girl that was born prematurely, and I think I was 21, and my baby died, so I then got the name of being a murderer. And you know, old people talk and they say things that, you know, if you hadn't did this, she wouldn't have died. But my grandmother said that she was an angel and God wanted her back. He just let me have her for a year and months. And so that made me bitter. And I just didn't trust anybody. So I was a bitter woman for a long time. I was bitter about how I got pregnant the first time, and full of hate and just wishing the worst on people, you know, and things like that can really destroy your life if Jesus is not available. But go back a little bit, when my grandmother's mother died in October 1946, her last words to my grandmother was, "Zola, whatever you do, you keep Smokey," that's my nickname, "you keep Smokey in church." And I tried to follow that, because, you know, it's like the police take the dying man's testimony, and that's it. Nothing else matters. So I kind of always was reminded that somebody loved me even on that deathbed, and it was my great-grandmother. And that kind of helped to bring me around. but it was hard for me to forgive. You know, I didn't really know what forgiveness was completely until I met Stephen. I actually met Stephen on the same prayer line that you were on, T. With Kiplin, and he was something. He said the Lord told him to speak life into my life, and for years he called me almost every day. We would pray in the Holy Ghost. He would pray and give me a scripture that related to life. And I was in a dark place, and I smiled all the time. Nobody ever thought I was hurting on the inside because I wouldn't tell anybody because people said, well, you should have did this. I don't like to be fussed at or nagged at. I had enough of that as a little girl. So I didn't tell anybody. I didn't know how to let it out. I didn't know how to forgive, you know. And when I learned why Jesus died, when I learned why he was whipped, it was all for Dorothy Jean. I began to take communion every day. As a matter of fact, as we speak, I'm entering my third year. I'm on the 39th day of my third year of consistently every day, every night, taking communion. Because the disciples did it daily. They went from door to door breaking bread. So I break bread every day with thanksgiving in my heart and learning to forgive. You know, the scripture says, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. I had, when my mom passed, I had loaned out some money that I had gleaned from the selling of her home in L.A. And she told me to help my children, and I did. And when Stephen was, he was praying with me one day, and when he finished, I asked him, I said, did you hold on a moment? And I called everybody that I had loaned money to, over $15,000. I said, would you guys please just write the amount down? Some of them didn't remember, but I knew it to the pen, and they laughed at me and said, you act like you don't remember, Mom, but you, you do. I said, draw a line through it and use a red pencil and mark paid in full. And I realized that the pressure that it took off of the people that I had did that with and the pressure that it took off of me, and I haven't regretted it, not one bit. But I have to tell y'all something funny. My kids was asking, Mom, what you been smoking? I said, I told you all. And it was so coincidental that the day that I decided to rededicate my life to Christ was October 1986, exactly 40 years from when my great-grandmother passed. I said, Lord, if you take the taste of weed away from me, I will serve you until the day I die. That was the beginning of a new life for me, is that God did forgive me. And my grandmother had asked me in the past before she passed, she said, Smokey, are you still smoking those no-name cigarettes? And I would go, oh, no. She said, well, call me when you're not lying.
I'm like, okay. I was going to ask you why they call you Smokey. Now I know.
Well, no, the reason they call me Smokey because I was the blackest one in the family.
Oh.
In the South, yeah. My dad is French Indian, and my mom, her dad is half Caucasian, you know, so it's just a lot of mixing. They call me a Sooner. Sooner be one thing, it'd be another. So I had a lot of tags on me, you guys.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Man. But Smokey Wood, I think that's why I love the movie Friday so much. I could identify with Smokey.
That's funny.
You know, you guys talked about betrayal a little while ago. I think one of the things that I learned is that I have so many different things told to me in my lifetime. You talk about, but if I'm, may I talk about that? What you guys talked about?
Oh yeah.
I think there's a lot of parental betrayal that comes from shame. and humiliation and self-condemnation. You know, other people condemn us for this, condemn us for that, and we do a lot of it ourselves because we're ashamed. But all of that was taken care of on the cross, because my mother, the title of my book is My Mother's Lies and My Father's Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And you find these things out at death or just before death. I was 75 before I realized that my father did love me. And all those years I spent hating him and not knowing that he loved me. But because my mom couldn't get him to be her husband, she said, oh, he didn't want you. He didn't love you. You was too black, stuff like that. And my dad and I sat down and I learned the truth of my mother's lies. But then my dad lived to be 99, and before he died, I found out I had two sisters and two brothers that was his secret. So, you know, those things play into your children's life. And people, sometimes you're betrayed by you know, you don't even know why. It's not even your fault that you're betrayed. It's that the person who betrayed you has so much stuff inside of them, they didn't know what to do. And I think I would like to tell all young mothers, whether you're married, single, separated, widowed, or divorced, speak truth to your children, you know, and ask for forgiveness, because I had to go back to my children and tell them, ask them to please forgive me. But every time I've cursed at you or said a bad word to you, you know, out of anger or anything, because I wanted my children to love me forever. And I must say I that went over really good for me, and it released me. Forgiveness is an antidote for anything negative that the enemy would try to come in and destroy you with. Forgiveness.
Exactly. Immediate forgiveness. Don't even ponder it. Just forgive and move forward.
Oh, baby girl, I live by that. And I would like to just tell all the women in the world, don't hold in nothing. Don't, you know, don't nag. Don't fuss. Just forgive. Close ranks and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're in the military.
Pride stops that. The pride stops forgiveness.
Yes.
Foolish pride.
Foolish pride.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, baby.
That's it. It just hinders forgiveness. You know, when people back to being self-centered, and what about me?
That's what
people are always, what about my feelings? What just happened to me?
Uh-huh.
You can forgive, and then you can still talk that out about that. You know, you be in a better position to discuss it after you forgive.
Yes. And not argue about things.
Not,
my daughter. Go ahead, son.
No, I was just getting ready to say, and then they stay a victim all the time. They stay in that pocket.
And I don't play with victims. I have fun with victims. If you come into my life and you're going to play the victim, I'm going to let you play that till you faint. And then we can talk, because I do, it's like, poor me, poor me. Yeah, okay, you all have children, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so Lady T, you probably have experienced this when you get in a group of women, everybody's labor pain is worse than the other. You know, they 112 hours, 124 hours. I tell people, pain is pain. I don't care how long it is. That's the way I treat victims. You know, like I'm not giving any sympathy to that. I lived in Los Angeles in Jordan Down Projects. If you all are familiar with that, during the Watts riot, and when there was a book, I forgot. The gentleman's name is a minister there in California, when bad things happen to good people. And I read that book. It was a big chapel there. He was a famous minister. I can't think of his name right now. But I read that book, and then it kind of opened my eyes. Everything that happens to me that I thought was bad it was a revelation that God was still, Jesus lives. You know, when I thought that I was going to, they told me in 1976 that if I didn't have major surgery, I would die. I'm still here. You know, I love that song that by the whiners, millions didn't make it, but I'm one of the ones who did. And
who was singing that today, T. Meyer?
My wife was singing that today.
Really? Millions didn't make it, but I'm one of the ones who did. You know, and I think back when I lived during the Watts riot, I was so afraid. And out of that riot came an opportunity. I was at, there's a health clinic down 130 and Grape Street in Los Angeles, and I was working as a receptionist there. And Dr. Clifton O'Dummond, who was dean of dentistry at USC School of Medicine, dentistry, he came and he called me. He said, girl, you're going to go and take this test. And I said, I can't take the test. I'm 31 years old, and I didn't get a high school diploma. He said, you're going to take the test. You would never be able to send your children to college working in the file room on Saturdays and a receptionist during the week. And the test was to be accepted into a class to become an X-ray technologist. Well, I thought I couldn't make it. And I ended up, they wanted five people. They took the first four with a high score, and they got to go to school. Well, about 3 weeks into school, one of the young men decided that he wanted to go to medical school, that he wouldn't waste those 2 years. I got to take his place. That's how I was able to help my children. See, all things work together for the good. And I didn't even know I was called, you know. But I graduated. I did my internship at, L.A. County Hospital then at the time, 1200 North State Street. And that helped me for my children that want to go to school. I could do a little better for them. You know, the first check I got, TNT, it was $17 an hour. I barely saw that a week. I said, ooh, I like this job. So,
yeah.
So, you know, in my life progress, I just in the past few years learned to get over the death of my little girl in 19. This past August 11th was her death was like 60 years ago on this past August. And this August 11th, I didn't fall out because through Stephen teaching me about the cross, about what it was and what it means, I was able to forgive myself if I did anything wrong, but able to understand that that's God's calling. And I thank God for that, you know. Forgiveness is just like an antidote for anything you could ever, that could ever go wrong with your body. You know, and I thank God for teaching me about forgiveness and things like that. And I tell my children all the time, learn to forgive. My daughter taught me something. She said, Mom, I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to give me advice. I want us to learn to disagree agreeably. And when she said also, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And then Stephen, I want you all to meet him. He is my lifeline to life. And the things that I would brood over, he said, well, here's another side, and it would always be a Jesus side and the cross. And I learned to forgive. And this is really a heavy thing to say, and if my children listen, this would be the first time they ever heard it. When I think I was 19, and my husband and I were back then they called this jacket, I don't know what they call it now, but I already had my two boys, and my daughter had passed away, and I became pregnant again. And I allowed my boyfriend then, his mother, to convince me. She said, you don't need any more children. You got two already, and you guys, you not going to have a good-looking child with my son, and she convinced me that it was the best thing to do was to have an abortion. Well, I did, and when the fetus was taken from my body, she wrapped it up in a towel. Well, the scene of what I saw in my head stayed with me for the next 35, 40 years. I wouldn't tell anybody about it because I would have nightmares about it. I would dream about it. Every time I would see somebody on TV that had misused a baby, I would feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And with Stephen, I learned to forgive myself. And that over 2,000 mm-hmm. years ago, when Jesus went to the cross, I was forgiven then. Because he knew, and he already knew the plans that he had for me. So I just would tell anybody that's dealing with guilt, don't do it. God has already prepared a way for you. Over 2,000 years ago, he planned for your forgiveness. If you sin tomorrow, he already planned for your forgiveness. I thank God for that because, again, Stephen added... That's how I believe God wanted him in my life to extend my life. And when I was 75, I looked to die any minute because people said, oh, 3 score and 10, 3 score and 10. You know, like I started getting scared at 70 that I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen again took me to the scriptures. The long life. He said, Mother, you are not going anywhere. God, do you read the scripture that says long life? Like, okay, and then he started telling me about Sarah and God's promise to Abraham and to Sarah. And he said, you might even get married and have more children. He said, Sarah did. She just asked God, would there be pleasure in the tent? I said, well, that's a good question to ask him. Okay, you know. So I've learned to live with joy no matter what.
Yeah.
Before my mom passed, a few years before my grandmother passed, I told her, I said, if you die first, your daughter don't have to worry about me. I don't need to have nothing to do with her, you know, because she was just mean almost until the end. And my grandmother said these words to me. She said, well, Dorothy Jean, you do know that your mother is my daughter. I said, yes. She said, and if you don't love my daughter, then you can't love me. I'm like, no, you don't know what I have. And she said, and Jesus said, how can you say you love your you love Jesus and you don't love your brother? I began to practice loving my mother in spite of. I learned to love my mother. And by the time she left this world, she knew that I loved her. And on the day she found out she only had a few weeks to live, she told me she was sorry.
Mother Boy, you just said a mouthful because we have so many people that swear they love God and can't stand people and hate people and have issues with people and unforgiveness and bitterness. And it's so interesting to me, how, like you said, the Lord said it too, how could you love me and you don't love your neighbor?
Yes.
Or you still have all this animosity built up inside. So what he's trying to say, it's impossible for you to be really loving me the way you're supposed to if you're hating someone else and disliking them.
Doesn't work like that. And it's life is so good to me. My new young folks, I am living my best life, you know. I lived in Georgia for a few years. I moved here when I was 60. I came here on vacation and I didn't go back. I just went back in 98 to get my furniture. Now, when I moved here, to explain why I was graced since I came out the womb. I moved here. I was on disability. I left, got to the airport. My girlfriend picked me up, and we went to Lawrenceville, Georgia, and there was an oncology clinic across the highway, Lawrenceville Highway, and I went over there. She told me to take a van, just as we used to say a long time ago, shucking and driving around, And I went to see if they had a job, any job opening. So they didn't. But the lady called Emory University, one of the largest training universities there is, and they set me up. I got here on a Thursday. They set me up that Monday for an interview to go back into radiology. Well, because I only had a California license, they gave reciprocity, but they couldn't hire me because they were a teaching institution. So they sent me to another hospital. The 1 week before in 1 week I had a job. I was on a 2 week vacation. I think 9 months I closed on my home. I had a job and was buying a house. I had no money. Mm-hmm. I was on Social Security when I got off the plane. That's how good God's grace is when you surrender to Him. Well,
right.
9 years later, my children want me to come back to California. I did that, and I ended up losing the house because I couldn't do the rent and, you know, from California. So I lost it, and I cried about that. But God replenishes everything, you know. And I moved to Bakersfield, and Bakersfield is just not a place to live. They have what they call Valley Fever there. And I think in 1977 they had a real big flood from the mountains, and you know, it's an agricultural place, and the fungus and stuff from the waste materials of the animals was in the ground, and that stuff, they say it's still in the air there. But it was a dark place for me, and that's when I met Stephen. I wanted to move back to Sacramento, California. I had been packed for 5 years, 4 years, and I could not move. The Lord, every time I go up north, something would happen. I stayed packed and slept on the couch for 4 years because I refused to put my bed back up because I knew God was going to come on some kind of way. And I had gotten on Section 8, and so Stephen and his wife were talking to me about moving down here. Well, I would say, oh, I get my Section 8 and move down here. So the lady interviewed me, and she was so ugly to me. And I said, well, my paperwork says that you can interview me by phone. She said, no, I don't know what you look like. I don't know how she act. And, you know, coming from Watts, that's just not the way to talk to a sister. So I asked God, I said, Lord, could you please take me out of the system because I don't look good in orange or stripes. So the Lord listened to my plea. And so my mentor, who lives here in Marietta, used to live in Sacramento, she said, oh, Sister Bowie, there's a place called Legacy, and they got beautiful places. So I was going to move to Marietta in one of the places where she lived, 55 and over. And so Stephen called me. He said, Mother, God is working. There's a Legacy 12 minutes from our home. So he came in here and looked at the place, and they said, oh, the waiting list will be probably anywhere from a year to 3 years. I told Stephen, no, I want not the God I serve. I think it was a week later, they called me and told me they had one ready. I didn't have no money. God sent my goddaughter. She said, you moving? Let me help you. I said, okay. Another lady that was on our prayer line, when we were on Kip's prayer line, she said she was looking for me a plane ticket. Well, she didn't only look, she paid for the plane ticket. My goddaughter, who I hadn't seen in a long time, she paid for the deposit. God started working in my life, and I was just like, Lord, thank you. I moved in here, and the place was like supposed to be for a handicapped person with a wheelchair. And they say, it's for a handicap. I said, well, I'm not a handicap, but I love the spaciousness. I'll take it. I'm here. And in Bakersfield, I couldn't go outside. I couldn't go for a walk because somebody was walking down the street with five pit bulls. I knew I couldn't take them on all at the same time, so I would stay in, you know. And if I went to the front door, somebody was out smoking a blunt. And so my kids laughed and said, Mom, does the smell bother you? I said, this is worse than skunk weed. Yes, it does. So I learned to laugh about a lot of things because some of the things you worry about, it's not worth worrying about. because Jesus cares.
Mm-hmm.
He cares how you feel. He cares how you live. And I said, Lord, I surrender all to you. I'm yours. Mm-hmm. I will do what you say do. I will go where you say go. And if I can help somebody along the way. And my daughter said, Mom, she said, you've been a giver all your life. You just relax and let God take care of you. And people ask me, say, how did you leave your children? Do you feel bad? Nope, I left them. I was on flight 247, United Airlines. That's how I left them. And I didn't leave no children. I left grown folks. My children are not afraid to work. I don't have no lazy kids. By the way, my nickname is, they call me crazy, but I told them, just make it Mrs. or so Ms. and you'll be good. But the young man that I met on that, I was told to come to Kip's prayer line. Like my godson Randy in Texas, he said, oh, they'd be on the line just talking about Jesus. You might enjoy it, Mama Bowie. I said, okay, I'll try. I ended up, as you know, volunteering for Kip over almost 4 years or more. Leading his prayer line, yes, sir. And mm-hmm. that's where I met Stephen on the prayer line, and then I met his wife. And I sent you his video of his son. Did you guys get to see that?
We'll look at it.
Yeah, his son is talking about
his
how.
Son?
Yeah, his son at the time, I think he was 9 or 10. And how he talks, he starts off, I'm my dad's son. I'm Stephen Mortimer's son, but I want to tell you how to wait on Jesus.
Yes. All right, now, how old is he now?
Next week, I think he'll be 13.
Oh, wow.
I think he's 11.
Okay.
No, he'll be 12. He'll be 12. I think he's 11 now. He'll be 12.
I love those mm-hmm. kind of kids.
Oh, and I called him one day.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, like
his name
that.
Is Caleb. I said, Caleb, he calls me Grandmere, which is what two of my granddaughters call me. He said, how are you doing? I said, fine. I said, I'm getting ready to take communion. Would you like to take communion with me? He said, yes, ma'am. Let me get my elements. I said, okay, baby. So, you know, my grandmother told me once, she said, when kids like you, you're not half bad, because kids would tell you in a minute, I don't like you.
mm-hmm.
And we should have that honesty, not to be that bold. Kids can be forgiven, but we should have that kind of attitude with people, instead of being, you know, bragging and nagging at people. Learn how to be kind with your words, you know.
Right,
when you're talking to people and not snapping at people. And you all were talking about the betrayal, you know, how people tell on other people and stuff like that. I've learned so much just being with Stephen, even his little boy. He said, Grandma, you got to move here because your voice is just, you're sweet and you're kind. I'm like, I had never met them in person until I moved here, to the day I got here. But I've been knowing them ever since we were on the prayer line.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
You know,
wow.
It's beautiful. Yeah. We used to go to different conferences, and in the front would be 9, 10, 11-year-old kids with their Bibles sitting there.
Yes.
They would run up and get in there first, and we would be amazed at that. And I don't really see that a lot now, you know, like young kids with their Bibles and up there like that. But I know God's raising them up.
He is. He's raised up a whole new people. I believe that this was a prophecy. There's going to be an Azusa explosion here in Hiram.
Amen.
When Stephen has always did his Bible studies online on Facebook, but he said, I think it was last year, I think it was 1 Kings 5 and 10, and it talks about the king in Hiram, and we live in Hiram. And he wants to start his church in Hiram. I said, when people learn to not be so afraid of God and to trust and believe that his word is true. He did a class a few weeks ago, how to find Jesus in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
Spending time with the Lord and learning that our Papa is really kind. He's very sweet, nice, and kind.
I love the way you said that. Sweet
he
and
is.
Kind.
Yeah, spend the time to find out. Instead of just listening to other people, you know, have your own personal time. And then going back to that outpouring, that's something the Lord put strongly inside of Pastor T and my heart about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and how it's going to come. And how great this outpouring is going to be and how many people it's going to bring, 1 billion souls in.
Yes,
and it's going to clean up a lot of areas, the worst areas that you think is really bad, like Watts, like you talked about in Compton and L.A. It's going to clean it up. The Lord's going to clean up the earth, and he's going to bring an anointing that's going to surpass the Azusa revival.
We call it
the anointing, not just any, but the anointing.
The
great
anointing.
Outpouring, the anointing that is
coming. T-H-E.
T-H-E. The anointing destroys the yoke.
Right.
Yes.
The anointing is, I had an incident with my feet a few weeks ago, and even the doctor didn't know what happened. My feet swole up, turned black. And I'm like, I didn't know what was wrong, and my doctor didn't know what was wrong. So we took advantage. I got my frankincense and myrrh right beside my chair, so I was soaking my feet in that and praying on it and laying hands on my own feet. You know, you can lay hands on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait for nobody anointed to come by. You got that relationship. You are anointed.
That's the practice.
Touch yourself, honey. Yeah, lay
that's
hands
what we
on
do
your
too.
Head.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing with little Caleb. He told me one day he had a headache. I said, did you ask your mom for something? He said, no, I called my dad and we took communion. I'm like, okay.
There it is.
When I see people raising their children like that, and I have a grandson his age in California, and I look at the difference of what they're exposed to, you know. Stephen, his mom and his dad, his mother told me, she said, I don't give my children, when they can't call anybody else mom and dad in front of me. I'm not that nice, but I have God children all over the world, some I've never seen before. And my daughter said, you are so stingy. I said, yes, I am. Stephen's mother said, and she's kind of like me, you know, she loved her son. She said, Mother, I'm so thankful to God that you're in my son's life. Mm-hmm. And I told God, whatever he needs me to do to serve him in the ministry, I'm here to do it. And she said, he has been this way since he was 13. He's a hard-working young man.
One of those guys that we used to see sitting in the front with his Bible.
And he taught himself how to play drums, taught himself how to play the organ. And I've never met anybody like this in my life. I'm like, you know, when my boys were that age, they would not. We have to go to church? Yes. and my kids thought church was the place to take a nap.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You know, but when they were little and they went to church, my oldest son is a Jehovah's Witness, and that's something else, you guys. It drove me nuts. It almost parted me and my son. I was so disappointed. But I realized that if Jesus can take a donkey with Saul and turn him into Paul and make do whatever he want to, if he can have Moses to strike his stick and turn water, strike a stone and turn water, he can do anything. He can, but my son is like well spoken. He sets up all the audio there at Cow Palace when they have their conferences and stuff. He does all the sound work. He's an intelligent young man, but it's a setup. So what Stephen told me, he said, look at this. Your sons are faithful. They're faithful men. They're hardworking men. God is seeing the good part. He don't see what congregation he belongs to. He knows the heart. And mm-hmm. my belief is that the Bible says my household would be saved, because I talked to some other people who were ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and I read a book, From the Kingdom Hall to the Kingdom of God, by this young man who was a witness over 30-some years. Now he's now a bishop. Good book to read. He said the family is, they're taught, you can't tell them, you know, that they're studying wrong. God doesn't care what denomination you are. He looks at the heart. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who have been to jail for murderers. God still loves them,
but,
too.
But let's stop. Let's go back a little bit. Does that denomination give you the experience of the blood? Because the blood has to be applied to you. So in that sense, God does care. Because if the blood is not applied and you're not born again, then it does matter, you know, because they actually are sacrilegious towards Jesus.
They don't believe in Jesus. Well, and they don't. I'm just saying I have no place to put him in judgment. Jesus is the only one who can do it, because I was judging him and being angry with him, but now like when he sent me stuff, I just tear it up and put it in the trash.
Okay.
I hope you ain't listening. But anyway.
All right.
Yeah, well, it's a little too late for that now.
It is too late, you know, because it doesn't help me in it. And like mm-hmm. when my mom passed, and before my mom passed, we all went down to L.A. to see her. And I said, my mother might be at Muddy, we call it Muddy. I said, Muddy might be at church. I'm not going in the church. Well, it's just the building. You're the church.
Exactly.
But they don't see it mm-hmm. like that, you know. And so, but I've learned to let him be who he is and just pray for him. That's what I've learned to do. I don't judge him anymore. I don't get angry with him anymore if he doesn't celebrate a birthday. Like he told me, I don't celebrate birthdays. I said, you don't have to celebrate yours because you didn't give birth to you. I did. I celebrate. And so he left me alone on that one. Because I said, you can't tell me what to do about your birthday, child. I had you, you know. But and the other thing, you guys, is that my children has seen how faith works, how trusting in God works. They know that mm-hmm. I came here by faith, not because I had money or anything. And I am living my best life. I'm free to serve God. I'm free to go. I don't live like I have everybody laughing. There are no helicopters over my head every night.
That's funny.
You know, Bakersfield has become a crime center because it's so close to the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they can come in there and rob a bank and get through the next city, and they're in the mountains, and they can go anywhere, Lancaster. They can go, you know, just be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. After the crime is committed. So I was kind of glad to be out of there. But just being with Christ now in a whole different way. I was once called a church hopper because mm-hmm. I would be at church and I would go to hear the choir sing, and after that I would be ready to leave. But when I start mm-hmm. hearing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it changed my whole life.
Amen.
And I thank God for that, you know. And we have to understand, too, that it's like a mixture of things. People don't talk about the law. Well, Jesus died so that we can't be. You can't take me to the gallows and hang me, you know, because I slept with Jack last night, you know. But I can ask God to forgive me for sleeping with Jack. You can't take me and put me in jail and stone me because, you know, I didn't feed my children yesterday or whatever. We couldn't live under the law today. If God mm-hmm. had not went to Calvary, and I thank him for his mercy and I thank him for his grace. And, you know, I was sharing with Stephen tonight, no human can purify himself, hence the cross. We need a Savior.
Exactly.
Right.
That's true.
And you know and what? You know something, Mother Beloved, with your son that's with Jehovah's Witness, the best thing to do is when you pray for him, just pray that he come to the love of Jesus Christ, that the Lord introduces himself to him, you know, and then he'll experience a whole different kind of love, a pure, real, powerful love, and then that'll make a difference. Mm-hmm. So keep that in your prayer, and we will be in agreement with you.
Thank you.
Lord says if two or more gather together in his name, he's in their midst. And if we ask anything in his name, that means according to his will, his name and everything that his name stands for, that he will do it. We come to the Lord in the right way, coming in his name. There's a lot in the name of Jesus. All of God's name he put in Jesus. He is the healer. He is Rapha. He is Jehovah Jireh. All of that's in Jesus. Jehovah Nisi. All of that is in Jesus. So that's why we come to the Lord in Jesus' name. That means we are in straight out one accord with the Lord in full agreement with him.
In full agreement.
All that
I love that.
Yeah.
So
we will lift him up.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
It was a situation where I was visiting a church and all the people was dancing and jumping and just, I mean, really, it appeared that it was on fire. And then I started sensing that something was kind of off, and I was asking, me and Pastor T got in the car and talked about it later. But anyway, while I was sensing something was off, I realized that the people, they came to church, they said yes to Jesus, but none of them had been baptized or receive the Holy Spirit.
So
that meant that it was a whole church full of people that weren't born again.
My Lord.
You know, didn't experience the new birth. And so a lot of times, a lot of people, people want numbers, and it's so packed, but they don't have a baptism even in the auditorium for the people to be baptized and go through the process of a new birth and receive the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that I would want to see for your son, you know, that he actually.
I see that in my vision of when that happens. I see the Holy Spirit taking over, and I see him just proclaiming his life, his new life, you know, in Christ, you know. Jesus' death was a sacrifice to grace God's people, you know. And in my little notes, I wrote, Jesus' death is my death. When he rose, I rose, you know. And
little
side note I was sharing it with my granddaughter. I said, when it rains, you need an umbrella. When you're homeless, you need a shelter. When you're hungry, you need food. You break the law to be punished by death. But that's not what Christ died. He will give you, he is your shelter. He's your shelter in a time of storm. He's your way maker. He's your judge. And he will, you know, we did another Bible lesson that Satan was already judged in Genesis. So he don't have no power. He just can roar like a lion. That's all. He can't do nothing. You can't submit to him. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Don't take that attitude on it. The devil can't make you do nothing. He can make some circumstances. You think you did it, but Jesus can come in and just fix it all, you know. And my
change
last note.
Change the whole thing.
Change the whole thing. And my last note to myself is we should make ourselves dead to sin, that when we do die, we live again.
Amen.
Hey, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mother Boy, we're getting kind of low on time, so I want to ask if you would pray for our listeners. If you would just say a quick prayer for our listeners.
Okay. Most gracious Lord, our God and Savior, Father God, we come before your presence. We give you praise. We give you the glory and all of the honor. We thank you, Father God, that this night, that this evening, that words were said to purify the hearts and the soul and the mind to come to Christ. And as Lady T said, that all may seek to be born again, Father God. We thank you that if there's anyone that's listening tonight that needs healing, that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. If they need a burden, you are the burden bearer. And we thank you that all ears that have heard tonight heard that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. And we thank you for Timai, and we thank you for Tasia, and I thank you for my new family. Thank you for the invitation. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray that, Lord, that you continue to move in Mother Beloved's life and help her to continue to be a light to many people and show the love of Jesus Christ to all the people that she come around, all people that come around her, even saved and unsaved, that they may know who you are. Let her be your beacon of light while she's on this earth, Lord, and moving according to the perfect will of God. And yes, Lord, let that great anointing she was speaking of, let it come to pass there in Hiram, Georgia, and let it come to pass, Lord. Let it come to pass in different countries, all
Highland,
over the world,
California.
Lord. That great, all in California, everywhere, Lord. Let this great outpouring pour out your spirit upon all flesh.
And
let
all
it move
flesh.
Across this world, and let
yes,
the spirit
Lord.
Of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the
yes,
knowledge
glory.
Of the Lord, cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Jesus. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in to this broadcast. Tasila and I had a ball. We really enjoyed Mother Beloved more than you think. We enjoyed you. And we thank you for saying yes to us, for coming on the program. And also, remember, we're here every week. Oh, yes. And we're here every week, Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. And we're here at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So check your time zone wherever you are in the world. Check your time zone and dial in 646-668-8537 or wherever you see the post of T. Meyer and Tasila with Christian Talk. Just click on our picture and you can hear the entire program, this program and some of the other programs that you may see in a post. Just click on our picture and you can hear the entire program right there on your computer. So that's it. Anything you want to say, Sister Tasila?
No, I just want to thank Mother Bowie for all her wisdom and her kindness, her love. You can feel the presence of the Lord. And God bless the leadership that you submitted to. The person she's highly speaking of, Stephen, his son, his wife, his family, and their ministry, that the ministry of Jesus through them towards you. That was beautiful. And it's just beautiful to see the light of God come through, you know, and the work that God has done through him to you. And, giving you a new life. Moving, all the way to Atlanta, new family. It's just beautiful.
Beautiful.
And we really appreciate you.
I was just going to say, it trickled through my down to my children. They now have faith, My daughter decided to go ahead and retire, and she's just doing wonderfully well, even through the pandemic with retiring. I don't know how much time, but my little great-granddaughter was born with autism, and Stephen prayed over her when she was when they first found out she wasn't even a year old. He said she has a speech impediment. Now they're trying to tape her mouth. She was so intelligent.
That's
praise
good.
The Lord.
Oh,
the Lord can
the
do
Lord
it.
That.
Well, that's pretty much that pretty much wraps up the program for tonight. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mother Beloved. And, well, Tasila, I guess it's time for us to say goodbye.
Yes.
Well,
I'd like to say
love
goodbye.
You all.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See you
bye-bye.
All next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.